you and welcome those of you who are able to be with us physically here and those who are worshiping with us online on our live streaming. Again, I want to welcome you with us to worship with us today. We are continuing our study on spiritual warfare. Before we get into that lesson, though, some things I need to tell you about. We need to talk about our plans. We've got a couple of things here that we're changed, at least one thing here that we've changed, and that is that everyone is welcome to attend worship service. Okay, I want to say that again. Everyone is welcome to attend worship service. And that includes, and the reason I say it that way is because I think over the last several weeks I've been talking about all of our members, but I want to make sure that especially those who are worshiping with us online that may not be members here of our congregation, to let you know that you are welcome to come and to worship with us. We would love to have you here to worship with us together. Some other things that we need just a reminder of: our Friday ladies class has begun. They're doing that. I believe they meet at noon on Fridays back in the back part of the building. So ladies, if you want to be a part of that, then do that. Well, I'm sorry. It's at 11 o'clock. Okay, 11 o'clock they're meeting back there. So any of the ladies that would like to participate in that, they're keeping the social distancing thing and so forth. So that's going on. Also, we began last week with our third Sunday family movie, although it was actually the fourth Sunday this month. We're going to do that on the third again, starting in the month of June. Is that right, Brian? Okay, so that will be going on. Don't know what the movie is yet for June, but we'll have that, give you that information. But we're beginning that again. Here's an important note to keep in mind: that beginning this coming Wednesday, June the 3rd, we will begin our regular Bible classes. So Wednesday night Bible classes begin. We will all meet in the auditorium here to begin with. We'll meet in this part of the auditorium, not in the back, and spread out like we're doing right now. And then the ladies will go to their class. The men will stay in here. The ladies' class will meet in the fellowship hall where there's lots of room to spread around and so forth. So keep that in mind. And then also, next Sunday, a week from today, we will begin our Sunday morning Bible classes again. So keep that in mind. Again, we'll be meeting in this part of the auditorium, not in the back. We want to spread everybody out as much as we can, but we will be meeting 9:30 next Sunday morning for our Bible class. We are going to continue, try to pick up where we left off in our study on evangelism, that we left off before all of this coronavirus stuff started. So that's what we'll be doing again. Remember, next Sunday, June the 7th, that's what we'll be doing, okay? Again, want to encourage you, we still have a lot of our members who are not able to be with us physically. We need to continue the phone calls and the notes of encouragement, all of those things, and please keep praying for everybody in this whole situation with that. A couple of things. We're going to continue on with these procedures that we have, that those attending physically for our worship time are asked to wear a mask and keep in mind the social distancing aspect, all right? So please continue to do that. We encourage the air hugs that we've been given and so forth. So again, we don't want anybody to get sick, but we do want to be able to get together and encourage one another and worship together, okay? Now, those who are at a high risk, and again, we have a large percentage of our congregation who are in that high-risk category, then you are welcome to attend, but we're asking you to consider the risk before you actually attend in person, all right? So keep that in mind in assessing whether you come or not. Very, very important. If you feel sick, okay, or have any of the symptoms of coronavirus, then please stay home. We do not want that spread around. So if you get that, any of those symptoms, high temperature or any of that stuff, then please stay home. Do not bring that here, okay? If you have been in contact with someone that has COVID-19, then please stay away for at least 14 days. If you've been in contact, you're caring for someone, you know that they have it, please keep that in mind and self-quarantine for that 14 days. Now, the individual communion cups and that grape juice is awful, isn't it? Okay, yeah, all right. Everybody feels the same way, all right? The fella at the store where we got it from, he was mentioned. He told me last time when I bought it, he said, well, we've got a different brand, but it's just as bad as the other stuff. But hey, it allows us to continue to remember what God has done for us, and that is the purpose of it. But just so that you know, even when we get everybody back together again, we're going to continue to use those for quite a while. Again, the idea here is same way with our contribution. We're not going to be passing any plates or anything between anybody and so forth. So we're going to continue to use those for a while, even after everybody gets back together again. Those of you who are not with us physically, you're worshiping with us online, if you need more of those communion cups, just call me and let me know, or text me, let me know. I'll make sure that you get those, all right? Okay, next Sunday, immediately after our worship services, we're going to have a picnic. And the idea behind this, the elders, we've discussed this, and we want to try to just to get folks back together again, okay? It's awful being away from one another. And we want to try to get back together, those who can and those who want to be able to be with us. We're going to have a church picnic right out here on the lawn next Sunday, immediately after worship services. Now, here's what's going to happen. The church is going to provide all the food, so we don't want anybody bringing anything, okay? We will provide all the food. Again, that keeps down the matter of anybody bringing something that might get somebody sick or what have you. We will provide all the hamburgers, hot dogs, chips, drinks. We'll even have some dessert, okay? So all you got to do is come and enjoy that time with us. If you plan to come to that and attend, please let me know. I've got a list here that I'm going, and that's basically so I know how much food to prepare for that. So let me know if you haven't already. Please call me or send me a text or let me know that you plan to be there. A couple of other things. We need you to bring lawn chairs. Unless you just want to stand, you're welcome to do that. But bring some lawn chairs and be able to sit on those. Also, I'm going to need some canopies, some of those pop-up canopies. Anybody that has any of those that we can use for that event, then we'd appreciate that. If you'd let me know, I'd appreciate it very much. And I'm going to need some help in the morning trying to get things set up beforehand. So anybody that can come and help me in the morning, I would say probably around 8 o'clock next Sunday morning to help me get some things set up, the canopies and some tables and stuff out there, then that would be very much appreciated. So we can get all that ready. So as soon as we're finished with our worship service, we can go out and enjoy that time together having that. But that is intended to be a welcome back and try to get as many folks back together. What we as the elders are trying to do right now is to get things back as close to normal as we possibly can, as soon as we possibly can, keeping in mind the restrictions and the safety and all that. But again, we want to try to get folks back together again. And so that's what we're trying to do. Okay. As we've been mentioning all along, and again, I just want to say thank you to everyone for the contributions and keeping those coming and helping out with that, because again, we continue to function as a church, even though we're not doing all of the other things we've been doing, but there's still a lot of need, and we're trying to make sure that we take care of the needs that we have. Again, you can pay by PayPal if you want to make a contribution by that. But again, I want to mention to you, because some of you are still, apparently when you're clicking on that, you're clicking on the option to purchase something. And when you're doing that, then PayPal is actually taking a percentage of your contribution out as a fee. So if you click on the option that allows you to send money to a friend, then your whole contribution will go to the church. So if you're doing it by PayPal, just look at that and try to do it that way, okay? The address where you go to do PayPal is edgehillpaypal@gmail.com. And of course, I still have a lot of folks that are sending a contribution in by snail mail, and that's fine too. We appreciate all of the contributions because you have allowed us to continue to take care of the things that we need to, all right? Okay, spiritual warfare. That's what the topic has been for the last several weeks. Today we're going to talk about the shield of faith, okay? Now, just kind of as a review of where we've been in this study, we began by focusing on this fact, that war really is hell, okay? And we're looking at the relationship between war and hell. That in this particular context of spiritual warfare, there is a direct relationship between those two. The fact that there is a war, a spiritual war that is going on right now all around us, and you and I, every single person, is involved in that war. It is not just a world war, but it is a war that involves the whole universe. And no one is excluded from this war. Nobody is neutral. Nobody gets to stand on the sidelines and say, I don't want to get involved. You are involved, whether you like it or not. You are involved in this war. Okay? Now, though we are all in it, okay, we need to understand that it is individually won or lost. And we've been saying all along that nobody can win this war for anybody else. Okay? We encourage one another, we help one another, we teach, we guide, we do all of those things because we're on the same side, okay? We do all of those things to help one another, but ultimately it is individually won or lost by the choices and the decisions that each individual person makes. We need to understand that winning or losing in this war really and truly is about heaven or hell. It is what determines your eternal destiny, where you will spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And again, as I've been pointing out all along, most people in this universal war, okay, will lose this war because most of them don't even realize they're in a war. Okay? Now, our study that we've been doing so far throughout this whole series has been focusing on a couple of things. We began by, first of all, making sure we understand the nature of spiritual warfare, that it is not what is referred to as conventional war, where we fight with physical weapons, guns and cannons and all those kinds of things. It is a spiritual war. Okay? Also, we talked about who the enemy is, making sure we know who the real enemy is that we're fighting against. Because what happens is that Satan, when we don't keep in mind who the real enemy is, he gets us fighting with one another. And when we're doing that, then we're not fighting against Satan. So we need to understand who the real enemy is. We talked about that. And now we're in this part of our study where we're talking about being ready for battle, to prepare ourselves to make sure that we have the armor, that we know what we're doing with the armor, how to use it, and what it's for, so that we truly are prepared for battle. All right? So, today in talking about the shield of faith, we begin by talking about going on defense. Okay? And I want you to think about some various kinds of shields with me for a moment. Let's talk about, first of all, some battle shields. Like this particular one is a Viking battle shield, okay? This one is an English battle shield. You probably, see in movies and read through history books or what have you, seen these kinds of shields that are used. One, a shield that has become more familiar with most of us over the last couple of months is a face shield. Okay, we see seeing more and more people wearing these. Even the masks that we wear, in a sense, are a type of shield, are they not? Okay, but we have face shields. I was privileged for a while to wear this kind of a badge, or they are referred to as shields. Okay, a police officer's shield, okay, is a type of a shield. And then, of course, this morning our topic is the shield of faith. The reason I have all of these things on here is to point out that when you think about a shield, then all of these kinds of shields represent the concept of something that is defensive. They are used to defend ourselves or someone else. Okay? Whether you're wearing a battle shield or carrying a battle shield, or you're wearing a badge that is intended to show that we're protecting not only ourselves but other people, we're wearing a face shield to protect ourselves and other people. They're all about defending ourselves from something else. And the shield of faith is the very same thing. Sometimes with Satan, we need to go on defense. Okay, we've got to be ready to defend ourselves. Self-defense, if you will. Okay? To protect ourselves and defend ourselves against Satan's attacks. All right? And so he gives us this shield to help us in that defense. In our study so far, in all of these different pieces of armor, Paul tells us that we need to stand firm. First of all, we talked about the belt of truth buckled around our waist. Okay? Then he adds the breastplate of righteousness to be in place. And last time we talked about having our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And he adds to that in the very next verse, verse 16, by saying, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now I want to look at that statement, that part of this passage for just a moment. Let's talk about all the flaming arrows. Okay? The key word here that I really want to emphasize this morning in this is all. Okay? All the flaming arrows of the evil one. And the reason that I say that is that we need to understand that Satan doesn't use just one weapon against us. Okay? He's got multiple weapons that he uses. And as we've talked about many times before in various lessons, Satan knows what each one of us, he knows what our weaknesses are. And he's got arrows, if you will, in terms of how Paul is phrasing this. He's got arrows that represent each one of those weaknesses that he's going to hurl at you and at me. Okay, so they may be, you know, doubt. We've talked about that. That area of doubt that Satan uses. Did God really say? And so there's an arrow that Satan, a flaming arrow that he will hurl at you to get you to doubt what you know God has said, what you know you should be doing. Satan uses doubt very well. How about lies? How often have you found yourself being lied to by Satan? Okay, there's another arrow, flaming arrow, that Satan uses to convince us or to get us to do something that we know we shouldn't be doing. Okay? He convinces us. God doesn't really care about you. God doesn't really love you. And all of those other kinds of things that Satan lies that he will tell us. Those are arrows that he is shooting at us. How about lust? You see, whether we're talking about people or we're talking about things that we lust after other things and so forth, that's an arrow that Satan uses very effectively to get people to stumble in sin. How about greed? You see a lot of that going on, don't we? You see, it's an arrow that Satan uses to try to get us to lose our faith. And then how about this one? Jealousy. Okay? Again, causing us to be jealous of someone else and start fighting with that person. And as we said earlier in our study, when we start doing that, then what we're doing is we're focusing on the wrong enemy. You see, but he uses jealousy in that way. All of those things, and there's so many, many more, that these darts or these arrows that Satan hurls at us in the midst of the spiritual warfare, and he does that very, very effectively. And God has given us a shield of faith. Okay? And the purpose of that shield, he says, with which you can extinguish or put out all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. So the really good news is that the shield that God provides for us is totally and completely effective. Okay? And that's why I emphasize the word all. It doesn't just extinguish some of the arrows, okay? You get total protection. All right? Total protection. There's been an advertisement that's been on TV for a lot here lately for Car Shield. How many of you have seen that? Okay? Car Shield. You get a warranty for your car, and it's got total protection, it says. You see? And so this shield that God has given to us is total protection in the midst of the spiritual war. It handles any and all arrows that Satan can come up with to hurl at you. Okay? Not just some of them, not just the worst ones, or not just the least ones, but all of them. But the key here is, like we've been saying all along, we got to take up the shield. Okay? That's what he says. In addition to all these other pieces we've talked about, he says, take up the shield of faith. All right? It's not going to do you any good just sitting over in the corner somewhere, propped up against the wall. You got to take it up and carry it into battle. All right? Well, let's talk about what does that really mean? How do we, in a practical way, take up this shield of faith so that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one? Well, we have to understand what it really is. And we look at this last part here. Faith is a verb. What does that mean? Well, you go back to your elementary school English classes, and is teaching you about words and so forth, nouns and verbs, and we learned that a verb is an action word, right? Okay, a verb is an action word. And that's why James is able to say, as he did in chapter 2, verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Okay? So it's not just, faith is not just a matter of something intellectually that we acknowledge. Faith has everything to do with what we do. It is action. Okay? The writer of Hebrews, I want to call your attention to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, where we refer to as the great faith chapter, okay? The who's who amongst the faithful of the Old Testament. And the writer here in verse 1 gives us a definition of what faith is. I want you to notice something, okay? Here's another, check on your English classes, okay, from school. He begins by saying faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is being. Anybody remember what being is in the English language? It is a verb, an action word, a being word, okay? The verb to be. And so even in this definition, my point is that he speaks of action. Faith involves action. It involves us doing something, okay? We need to understand that. So he gives us this definition. And then he goes on and he begins talking about these heroes of the Old Testament times. All of these people of great faith. And I want you to notice just a couple of them that he mentions. In verse 4, he says, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. He actually brought the offering. He didn't think about it. He didn't see Cain's offering and say, oh, I could do better than that. He actually brought the offering. And that's important. That's significant. He did something with his faith. In verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay? Seek him. That's action, isn't it? Now, wait a minute, we missed a word here. Not just to seek him, but to diligently seek him. Okay? That's not just passive, that is actively going after, diligently going after a relationship with God. And that's what faith really is. Okay? in verse 7, he talks about Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. What did he do? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He prepared this ark. He built the ark, some translations say. He did something. You say, action. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, what happened? He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. It's action. He obeyed and he went. He didn't just acknowledge what God said, but he did what God told him to do. And he goes on to say in verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he did what? He considered him faithful who had made the promise. There again is action. Okay? He didn't just believe that God could do something. He acted upon that belief. And the writer of Hebrews then goes on to talk about so many other people of great faith. So many other examples, like Jacob and Joseph and Rachel. And if you go to verse 32 through 34, this is what he has to say. After talking about all these other folks, he says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith, and he talks about the different things that they did. They conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. And they did all of these various things through faith. In other words, they did something. And so, yes, indeed, that faith that God gives us, the shield of faith, it requires us to do something, to act. And that's how we use it. Okay? We've got to be acting. We don't just stand to hold the shield up and just stand there, but I want you to picture the idea of taking that shield and using it to defend yourself as you are living and actively obeying God and living and walking in His light. That requires action. You see? So it is, the emphasis is the action that we, the things that we actually do, not just simply what we intellectually acknowledge about God. Peter, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, talks about this idea of action, okay? And this shield of faith that we have fits right here. Look at what he says. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That's action, isn't it? In other words, the idea here is I need to decide that God is on the throne of my heart. I need to put Him there to reign on the throne of my heart. Okay? And then he says after that, always be prepared. Well, in order to prepare for something, doesn't that require you to do something? Okay? We've got to make preparations. That's doing, isn't it? Again, you can sit down and think about all the things you need to do in order to accomplish something, but until you actually start doing it, you're not getting anything done. Okay? So he says, always be prepared. What? To give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Be prepared always to give an answer to anyone who asks you. Why do you believe what you believe? How do you find yourself being able to be calm in the midst of the chaos that you find yourself in? People ask you those kind of questions, be prepared to give them an answer. You say, that's our faith in action. Okay? A working faith. Not just simply an intellectual acknowledgement that God exists. As we've been saying all along, we are truly in the fight of our spiritual lives. And we have got to resist the enemy. We've got to overcome and defeat him. And God has provided to each and every one of us a shield of faith that we can use and must use to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of Satan that he'll hurl at us. Okay? We have set up a mechanism by which anyone can contact us. We have an invitation opportunity. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use for an invitation song. Of course, those who are here physically can respond physically. Just come and let me know what you would like to for us to pray about. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, we have the phone numbers of Dale and Wes here that you can text to let them know whatever your prayer request is. And we will honor that prayer request and we'll take care of that for you this morning. Part of the invitation that we offer all the time is for anyone who has not yet given themselves to Christ, for you to have the opportunity to become a Christian. And so, again, I think everybody that we have here physically this morning is already a Christian, but I know that there are those who are there online worshiping with us this morning. I know there are some out there who are not Christians. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you have come to a point in your life where you're ready to make the choice and the decision to give your life to Christ, then you can do that. And you can do it as soon as possible. All you have to do is contact us. You can text Dale or Wes right now and let them know that's what you want to do. You can call me anytime. Let us know, and we will make the arrangements to have you baptized into Christ as soon as possible. You don't have to wait for any special occasion or anything else. Just let us know that's what you're ready to do, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible to do. The Lord's invitation is extended to anyone for whatever it is that we can help and serve you with. So those of you who are here with us, invite you to stand and sing. Those of you who are worshiping at home, you can stand or you can sit however you want to, but we invite you to join us in this invitation song. Tom, come on up.